two teams of warriors. Gladiators. Battle it out with no champion crowned. There is but one solution.
We're headed for Golden Point.
This, dear listeners, is the Golden Point.
Hello and welcome to episode 6 of the Golden Point. We're here and Drew is back for another episode. He's finally back from the dead and we're going to have a pack-filled episode tonight where we have a few new segments. The main one is What's Your Beef, which will be run by Drew. And we're going to kick things off with a round recap. So looking at Thursday night, we had the Broncos and the Roosters. Broncos winning that one 32-8. Some of the highlights from that were the Roosters were held scoreless in the second half. And the Ben Hunt got injured, a bit of a mild hamstring strain, so he might be out for a couple of weeks there. What do you guys think?
Well, the Roosters being held scoreless is certainly not a highlight for the Roosters fans. But, the Roosters had a really good start to the season, and they sort of come back down to earth a little bit, but I think they're going to bounce back. I can't remember the game that well, to be honest, but I do recall the Broncos seemed to be all over the Roosters for the majority of it.
It's a little bit of a worry for Roosters fans, I'd say. Two losses in a row now. It's a pretty bad loss as well, 32-8. Broncos played well. I thought they looked quite good. Possibly their best win of the season. Definitely a big worry with Ben Hunt out. I think 6 to 8 weeks or something like that. So that's going to be really bad for them. It's going to really test out their depth. Might give them an insight into what next year is going to look like. But a great win for them, and Roosters fans will be a little bit concerned, I'd say.
Just considering they sort of pride themselves on their defense, that's something they were saying, that 2013 defense is back, and they really sort of fell apart a bit in this one, so definite concerns there. Did you definitely agree?
Sure. No, I was just going to talk about their defense. The fact they let 5 tries in is pretty significant for the Roosters.
Definitely. Yeah. So we'll move on to the first Friday night game, the Knights against the Bulldogs. Bulldogs winning this one 22-12 with a bit of a comeback there. The notable points from here is Matt Frawley is now undefeated for the season, 2-2. The second half comeback was completed without Clement and Brad Abbey. And the Knights, as we say most weeks, they tried real hard, but they didn't get there. So, JC, I'll let you kick off on this one.
Yeah, it was a scrappy match. It wasn't a convincing win by the Bulldogs. I thought the Knights started really well. I think they kept the Dogs scoreless right until the 40th minute, right just before halftime. So they looked good. I thought they were definitely the better team in the first half. The Dogs obviously were down Clemmer in the second half, so that didn't help them. It definitely pushed their subs a little bit more. They were playing with 15 men for a while there. Great to see Frawley get another win. I thought he was really good, just as good as he was the first week. He scored a fantastic try through 2 dummies to score it, which is great to see. It's going to give Dez Hasler definitely a bit of a headache during the week. I don't know what he's going to do. Reynolds didn't have the most outstanding game. He was lively, but came up with a few mistakes. So I'm not sure what he's going to do, if he's going to stick to what he did and just keep Frawley on the bench, or if he's going to move Mabai or Reynolds. But it was good to see the Dogs get 2 wins in a row, 3 for the season now. So they're looking better. But like I said, definitely not convincing. But I think the biggest concern for them at the moment is their goal kicking. It was terrible. 1 from 5. We saw Mabai miss the first few, and then Adam Elliott had a few attempts at the back end of the game, and they were pretty horrendous. So I'm not sure what the answer is for the Dogs. I think they're going to have to put a lot of goalkeeping practice in during the week.
Yeah, I feel like the Matt Frawley factor coming in, he's now 2 from 2, as Max said. I think it's fair to say he is the greatest NRL player of all time. I don't think that's too far-fetched to say that, but no, he seems to be adding a lot of structure to the Bulldogs' play, which is great to see. It's something they've missed sorely for a long, long time. One other player in this game that I thought was very impressive was Marcelo Montoya. He crossed for 2 very crucial tries. His first try, fantastic finish. He just looks like someone who was supposed to be in first grade. And that's really great because the Dogs, other than Curtis Rona, haven't really had great wingers for a few years. The Knights, I feel for the Knights. I mean, they're trying their hearts out. And you can see that the huge talent just isn't there. Like, they are good players, but they're just not up to that every week NRL kind of level. But yeah, you got to feel for them because they did blow a couple of really good chances to get into the lead. And I think if Who dropped that try? Is it Sione Mataoto?
Yeah. The back end of the game.
Yeah, if he had got that ball down, I could have seen the Knights going on to win that match. I thought they had huge momentum in their favour. But, you know, that's not the way the cookie crumbles and the Dogs finish with the biscuits.
I loved Blocker Roach during that, like, when the video ref was looking at that try, and he's like, oh no, he's on main contact, it's gone up the arm, but it's okay, and he just kept on saying it. And the other commentator, I forget who it was like, no, he needs to re-grip the ball, which is the terminology NRL uses. But he was adamant it was a try.
He was not good. He did not have too many fans on Twitter, Blocker Roach. I think there's a lot of people calling for his head, saying that he's more so Channel 9 level than Fox Sports level.
His commentary is very antiquated. Belongs in the 80s, that's for sure.
Definitely.
But he is good fun. I'll defend him a little bit. He's good fun. He's a character. Maybe he just needs to talk less during the coverage.
I thought Frawley looked really good, as I said before. Mbai moving to centre as well after the Abbey injury. I actually thought Mbai looked great, actually, just running off people, sort of having that job of using his speed and being elusive. It just looked a million times better, and the Bulldogs just had so much more direction when Frawley came on, and the kicking game improved so much as well, which is just what they've been missing.
He's got a really good short kicking game. He's been really good at getting us repeat sets, which is very important. I think any team that can get repeat sets is going to go a long way to winning a game.
So we'll move on to the other Friday night game, Panthers and Rabbitohs. Rabbitohs winning this one with a late field goal, 21-20. So the notables out of this one, the Panthers now hold the record for the most hyphenated names of players playing. So they had two Otini Zalesniaks, one Campbell Gillard, and one Hawera Naira. And if Fisher Harris was there as well, it would be five, which is pretty crazy. The Panthers were without Moylan, Hiku, and Blake after the suspension that the Panthers imposed on them. And Reynolds was cool, calm, and collected on his field goal.
That's one of those records you just really want your team to have, isn't it?
Plus, you have to throw in, it's not hyphenated, but Tamari Martin, three names as well, so it's another one kind of in the same group.
I think it's probably only rivaled by the win-loss record that a team wants. The Penny Panthers haven't had the best starts of the year, let's be honest here. I just don't know what to make of South. They don't look like a premiership side. They don't look like a top eight side, but they just keep winning, and I don't understand it. And I'm so happy that I don't tip anymore, because I wouldn't have a clue who to tip. There was a lot of talk out of this game about the coach getting rid of those three players for breaching team protocol and whatever. A lot of people on Twitter were saying things like, it's stupid, why would you punish the fans? Well, you know, these guys make a lot of money, and just fining them isn't putting that big of a dent in them. I think if you want them to learn from their mistakes, you take them away from their teammates. You make them see how much they let down those teammates.
It's a ballsy call from the coach.
It is a ballsy call, but I think in the long run, it's the right call. Those guys need to know that their job is to do exactly what the coach says. And if they don't do that, they will get punished for it, and their teammates will get punished for it. And hopefully that will make them never do it again.
Fair enough.
Panthers fan. Let's hear your review.
I don't know what's wrong with the Panthers. Like, they seem to be able to get down to the opposition's goal line easy enough, and then they just can't get over the line. I don't know why. The last 2 weeks have been quite frustrating to watch, and it seemed like, I know obviously missing Moylan, Blake and Hiku aren't that big a loss. Like, they're very replaceable. No offense to them, but they are. And Moylan, obviously, like, him missing out was unfortunate, but it shouldn't have been enough for us to lose this game the way that we did.
Do you think possibly the Panthers have been buying in too much to their own hype?
I don't know. I feel like everyone's bought into that a bit too much, and it's sort of the tone is being set as the season goes on. I think they do have prospects of, you know, being that top eight team, but the top four it's still a possibility, but I don't think they're that powerhouse that everyone was expecting. The Rabbitohs, as Drew was saying, looked quite good at times. They still, both sides really just had those periods where they fell apart a bit, and really that came back to bite the Panthers overall.
I think in fairness, I mean, the Panthers were playing a few young guys. Despite the fact that maybe Blake and Hiku are replaceable, the team had a few changes in there, so different combinations and things, which is always hard. Missing their, in inverted commas, captain, Moylan, wouldn't help. You know, Dylan Edwards having to fill in at fullback, which is a big deal for a guy like him. Pressure on him there. So there's a lot of factors into why Penrith lost, I think. And we have to keep in mind, they only lost by a point. And they lost to a team who's actually put in some good wins this year. It's not like they lost to the Knights or something like that. No offense to the Knights. But South only won the premiership a few years ago, and they're still a solid team. They've got the New South Wales halfback in their team. They've got the English captain in their team. They're a good team. So it's, if I was a Panthers fan, I don't think I'd feel too disheartened by the loss. It wasn't like they lost by 36 points to Manly or something.
Yeah. Interesting tidbit as well is that the New South Wales Cup side actually lost as well with Moylan, Hickey and Blake in there, which is a bit concerning. But
was it another close game? I think they only lost by a couple of points
about six or something. Yeah, so there you go. People were saying, new combinations down there as well didn't help. But
is Michael Jennings still in that New South Wales Cup team?
He is. Yeah, no, he fills in right when we need him.
Yeah, yeah, he still plays for the Roosters. He just fills in for Para.
Even though
he plays for Roosters as well.
Even though he plays for Para, Gus still puts him in the New South Wales Cup.
Absolutely.
I think there's also going to be a question. I think this would probably a lot of eyebrows be raised at this, but I also have to question how well the combination between Martin and Cleary is going. Individually, they're both very good players and they're both playing well, but maybe they're not combining as well as a halves combination needs to, and that's a reason they're struggling to go over the line. Maybe they're not knowing who to go to in which play, blah blah blah.
I think they've been one of the highlights of the season for us, their combination, how it's grown over the week. So
but you have to, if the teams are struggling to score points, you look at your halves, and if they're individually playing well, then something else is going wrong. So maybe, I don't know, who knows, maybe they're playing on the wrong side, maybe they're better with the other, who knows. I think there's definitely got to be a question, because I think individually they're fantastic players, but I don't think they've been standouts yet.
I feel like Cleary's been, well, for me, he's been one of the standouts in the Panthers side. Like, his kicking game's been very good. I just think they push too many passes. And I think that does come a little bit from buying into their own hype, thinking about themselves as these, entertainers, and pushing these passes, pushing these offloads, and, they're just turning over too much ball. And it's really sort of holding them back a lot.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And it's been quite a few of the senior players as well doing that, like the Marins and the Tamos and stuff like that. So it needs to be looked at. We'll move on to Saturday, the first Saturday game. The big win by the Dragons, 35-10 over the Seagulls. The Dragons forward pack was just absolutely dominating throughout. Seagulls were a bit scrappy, and Josh McCrone had 4 try assists, which is probably the first time in his life, I would imagine.
No offense. People are hard on Josh McCrone. Josh McCrone is a very...
Stop saying no offense. They're going to take offense.
Josh McCrone is a very solid halfback, I believe. He gets a lot of bad raps, but he does his job. He doesn't excel as an NRL player. He doesn't go over the top, but I think he does what he has to do. In the same mold as someone like a Jeff Robson. Kids aren't going to want to grow up and go, I want to be the next Jeff Robson, because they don't want to be 50 years old yet. But I think he actually does. He plays a really good foil to Gareth Widdop there.
Their forwards, the Dragons forwards, were just unbelievable. Here's some stats for you. Joel Thompson and Paul Vaughan made 158 and 216 metres, respectively.
Wow.
So Paul Vaughan is just on fire. And... look, I was looking out for him a lot on the weekend, and I saw a lot of Joel Thompson as well. He was just pushing the ball forward, and obviously Jackson Bellin's been huge all year too.
Yeah, two Raiders products.
And it's good to see Widdop, finding a bit of form again, because Lord knows he lost it last season. But yeah, he's really picked up a lot.
It is funny looking at this.
I was just going to say, and Manly weren't very good.
No, it's funny looking at the stats, and they're actually not that separate, not that different from each other. The Dragons had a lot more kick meters, which I think you could probably attribute to the fact they're probably going to be down in Manly's end more, which will help them. But you look at the rest of the stats, the offloads are pretty close. Line breaks aren't that different. Missed tackles are a little bit different, but tackles, whatnot, penalties conceded, errors. So it's interesting. You look at the stats and you think, okay, it's probably a fairly close game, but 25 points is a significant margin. So I think it just comes down to the Dragons doing the little things right, really, which... I would put in, I would say is Gareth Widdop there doing that, because he's had a really good season.
Definitely. We'll move to the next Saturday game, the Titans and the Raiders. Raiders big winners, 42-16. The big talking points out of this one, Jordan Rapana with a whopping 117 fantasy points, which is probably the highest I can ever remember. And at halftime, the Raiders had double the amount of run meters and half the amount of tackles, so they were just absolutely killing them.
Yeah.
If the game had started at the second half, it would have been a really good game and a very competitive game. The Titans came out in that second half and they were finally ready to play football, but unfortunately, the game had already been going for about 40 minutes at that point. Canberra were just crazy good in the first 20 minutes, and they just blew the Titans out of the water, and the game was game was over before the halftime siren blew.
Yeah, the Jordan Rapata, what a superstar. He's just an amazing winger. The, one of the commentators, I can't remember which one it was, on Saturday night, made a point that the Titans had just made their comeback. They'd gotten to win in 10 points or something like that. They had a set on the Raiders' line, and one of the Titans' halves, it might have been Ash Taylor, put in a kick. It was meant to be a bit of a dribbler, a bit of a grubber in there, but he got in the air, and one of, I think it must have been Jack White, and caught it on the full in the end goal. Just a little, sort of little slips catch in there. They got seven tackles, went down the end of the field and scored a try and ran away with the game. And it was just a tiny little thing, but it changed the game completely. So it's just those little things that the Titans halves are going to have to get right. They've been pretty solid this season, I think, but little things like that, that seven tackle set, they can just completely change a game. So it's those situations where I do tend to agree with the Des Hasler philosophy of just killing the ball. Don't give up seven tackles and the 20-meter head start as well, because it can definitely just completely kill momentum.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that 100%. I think we also have to remember the Titans kind of just have about a million injuries, and they're slowly but surely recovering and coming back, but they still have quite a few, and it's going to take a while for them to sort of kick into gear and get those combinations going for them.
I think I saw it was something like $3.5 million on the sidelines at the moment. Because there's Chris McQueen, there's Kevin Proctor, there's Jared Hayne. Tyron Roberts went off injured during that match. I think he's got a broken bone in his foot or something. There's some battered and bruised boys in that team.
Absolutely. So they're pulling together and still getting a couple of wins here and there, so that's good. All right, so we'll move to the final set of the game. The big upset of the round, West Tigers 26, Cowboys 16. So Ivan Cleary is now 1-for-1 as the Tigers head coach and coming to make a change. JT got injured his calf, which is going to be a huge talking point. They were a bit coy on how severe it was.
I thought they sacked JT.
The good JT.
Sorry, yeah. There's three JTs potentially in this scenario. I mean Jonathan Thurston.
But Jason Taylor actually did get hurt. His heart is still hurting.
He is crying at home, no doubt. And the final talking point, Colin Hess scored another double, which gives him 6 tries in 6 games, and he is an absolute superstar. He is my man crush of the year. All right, what do you guys think?
If you are Hess, that is a very scary thing. So.
Oh, yeah. I would take out an AVO first chance.
I will happily accept your signature via an AVO. That's okay. I know it's more of a love letter than anything else. That's all right.
Well, this kind of came out of nowhere, and you know, I feel bad for Jason Taylor because I feel like the Tigers were just, you know, a couple of games away from this happening. They've got a good team. They
for now.
Yeah. They look like they were trying hard at the start of the season. I kind of agree with Jason Taylor when he says he was a bit of a scapegoat. But, you know, the Tigers are the biggest underachievers in the NRL. Oh, actually, the Warriors are up there too. But the Tigers are definitely one of the biggest underachievers in the NRL. With the spine that they have, they should be in the top 8. And this game proves exactly why. It wasn't that the Cowboys played diabolically, except for the second half where both teams played really poorly. But in the first half when the Tigers were well and truly on top, both teams were sort of going at it. And the Tigers just looked great. They were smooth, their passes were sticking, they weren't dropping the ball over the try line except for right at the end of the game. That second half kind of just fell apart, but it was a good game up until about the 50th minute.
Yeah, look, Mosby catches that kick at the end of the game and the Cowboys potentially get the lead and the win. So it was a tight rope at the end there. He should have caught it. Disappointing there. I'm not about this game, but during the week, there's obviously a lot of talk of the big four or the big three, if you want to call it that now. And they're re-signing and whatnot. And someone made a point, I think Tedesco had an interview and he said, I want to play for a team that's going to play in the finals or make the finals. And then there was a tweet someone put out, and it might have been on Facebook, and they said, if a club is paying you $1 million, you have to get them in the finals. That's what it comes down to. It's not that you go to a club and they'll pay you and hopefully the rest of the team will get you into the finals as well. It's like, no, it's up to you to do it. And it was the most poignant tweet I heard during the week, and to do with the whole Big Four that we've been hearing about for the last 3 weeks. It's, for some reason, I'm just sick of it because those guys, they just seem like ungrateful. I don't want to call them little brats, but they're ungrateful little brats. No, I wouldn't go that far, but obviously there's a lot of wheeling and dealing to do as managers and whatnot.
The idea that players are blaming upper management on their failures on the football team is a joke.
Yeah, I think there's just big trouble with those guys. I don't know if they are suited to be together. Maybe they should be split up. Maybe it's better because it just doesn't seem to be working.
Yeah, well, we're going to touch on this a bit more during the fans' verdict of the week. But yeah, we'll see what the fans have to say about this as well. I think that people need to remember after this win, the amount of times that a coach comes in and takes over for a club and that team wins that week is insane. Like, there's a great record. I don't know what the actual record is, but
the Cows 15 times a season in the NRL.
Well, Andrew Webster's wasn't great 2 weeks ago.
He was just an assistant.
They've had three coaches in like 4 weeks.
Insane, yeah. No, but I mean, the Cowboys were saying in the lead-up, saying, oh, you know, you need to be aware of this and all that sort of stuff, but a team either gets inspired, maybe the players train a little bit harder trying to impress a new coach or something like that, but they come out and they always play really hard. So it's, if they're still playing like that in a few weeks' time, I'd start getting excited, Tigers fans, but at the moment, still not be.
Yeah, nothing's going to happen until these guys sort out next year, until Woods, Tedesco and Moses sort out next year. Nothing is going to come together. They're not going to string 5-10 wins together, maybe two.
I think the future is very bleak for the West Tigers as it currently
yeah,
seems.
For this season, I think Ivan Cleary will be able to turn them around, but we'll see.
Yeah, who knows? They might lose the Big Four and they might sign another Big Four. Like, yeah. There's plenty of players on the market. They don't have to stay with those guys.
No, that's a no four players are bigger than the team or something like that. I think that's the catchphrase. Anyway, so we'll move to Sunday. Warriors 22, Eels 10. So in this one, Sean Johnson and Kieran Foran's combination, they're now 2-for-2, and they are looking great, I think. I actually think they're going to turn the team around. I know everyone sort of expected that, but they looked fantastic today, in my opinion.
Yeah, I actually didn't watch any of this game.
I
was getting lunch at the Marrickville Market, so I missed this one entirely.
No, I actually forgot to watch the highlights. So,
but what I heard was Kieran Foran played well, but I'll pass to you then.
Yeah. Okay, so I watched bits and pieces, didn't watch the whole thing, but I did think they looked really
good. Game of the round, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wouldn't miss it a million years.
I don't understand why Brad Arthur moved Gutherson out from 5-8 and put him at fullback for this one. Surely there's more players. Like, they have Josh Hoffman playing on the wing. So just, they sort of changed that combination. I think that came back to hurt them a bit.
Who played in the halves?
It was Takarangi and Corey Norman or something like that, which is just bizarre.
I honestly think Brad Arthur is one of the most overrated coaches in the comp. Like, the Eels were playing all right last year. They weren't, you know, setting the world on fire. But, like, what's he really done since he's been at the Eels?
Who's more overrated between him and Kearney?
Kerry.
I think Brad Arthur survived the Eels, and I think that's the reason why people are enjoying it, saying he's a great coach, because it just, like, all the crap that happened last year, he's been able to get through that, keep the team together, and keep them winning games here and there. So, you know, a lot of resilience.
Oh, good for you.
Well, it's good to see, I'm just going through the team list, good to see Arvar played, yeah, another domestic violence offender in the team. Yeah.
Well done, NRL.
You can literally go through every team and probably find one of them.
Well, no, I'd take offence to that. I don't believe the Bulldogs has any.
Okay, well, I think they did enough back in the early 2000s.
Oh, really? Did they? Did they get charged for anything?
I don't know.
Defamation.
You're throwing out big accusations there.
Yeah, so anyway, final game of the round was the Storm and Sharks. A wet one. The Sharks came away with a win 11-2. So what do you guys think of this one?
It was a scrappy, very scrappy game. It definitely didn't live up to the grand final rematch, as everyone likes to throw out there. It ended up, it was 2-2 with 10 minutes to go, so not much scoring at all. Just so much drop ball. I don't know if I've seen as much drop ball in a game this year between any team. So, yeah, I don't have a lot to say about it, really. It was a nothing game for me.
Yeah, there's a couple of teams I find really boring to watch, and those two teams happen to be the Storm and the Sharks. They both play almost exactly the same style of football, and it's just the same thing. It's forwards hitting up, you know, getting it out to your centres, and then sort of trying to bust through the middle or kick it wide to your wingers. It was an alright game to watch at the end of the day.
You're definitely saying how boring it was.
Wasn't it?
So there was 28 errors in
look,
the game.
Look,
so
I'll put it this way. It's better than not doing anything on a Sunday afternoon, but not much.
28 errors and 69 missed tackles between the two teams. So plenty of mistakes out there.
I suppose 69 missed tackles, you know, incredibly wet game, you know, is kind of expected.
Yeah, but that just sums it up. It was a wet game. So yeah, that's all it was.
I was I mean, the biggest talking point out of this game is I was kind of disappointed that the score went past 3-2. I would like to see that.
I think the biggest talking point out of this game had nothing to do with this game, but it means the Dragons are top of the table, which is just ridiculous.
Yeah, that's very true.
Kind of like the Stephen Bradbury of the
NRL. That is actually true. Literally, they fell around. Very good.
All right, so that's round recap all done and dusted. We're going to move on to fan verdict and see what the fans have been saying throughout the week. We have two this week. The first one is, was re-signing Dez the best option for the NRL Bulldogs?
As opposed to
the Batley Bulldogs.
And that is their tag on Twitter, and I just read it one for it. I'm like Ron Burgundy.
I'm
back. This one is hard. I'm very much on the fence with this one. After Ivan Cleary signed with the West Tigers, there really wasn't anyone else out there for them to sign. They could have gone with someone like Jim Dimmick or Dean Pay, who a lot of fans are calling for, but you know, haven't been tested in the NRL. I would say at this point, look, it was probably in their best interest. I'm not sure if I want it as a Bulldogs fan, but it's probably in their best interest.
TBD. We'll figure it out.
Doesn't that have a to be discussed?
To be decided. To be continued then. I don't think we'll know, you know, probably close until the end of the season, whether it's the right decision or not. If he is able to land a Tedesco, a Foran, or a Kronk, then maybe it's not the worst decision in the world. But if he can't get any of those players, and we're stuck, the NRL Bulldogs are stuck with that team going into next season, then yes, bad call.
Okay. I feel like Dez is just, he's a fantastic coach, but I think he's tired and he's a bit over being at the Bulldogs. Just from the vibe I'm getting, the style of gameplay, the fact there's not much change happening there, it just makes me think that, you know, it probably was the time for him to move on, which is interesting. There was actually a comment on there that someone said, not the best option for Dez, could have got out of that shipwreck, which I thought was pretty funny.
Joel McAllister. Interesting.
Does he think Dez coaches the Tigers?
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, so the fans, they said yes, 53%, and no, 47%. So they do think Dez was the best option to re-sign for the Bulldogs, or the NRL Bulldogs.
Well, it's decided then.
There you go. So the next one was, do you agree with Jason Taylor's comments that Woods and Tedesco should repay the West Tigers and re-sign with the club?
No, because I want Tedesco to go to the Bulldogs.
Look, in an ideal world, there would be some loyalty from players to their clubs. The Tigers obviously gave them their chance. Tedesco had had a lot of injuries and they showed faith in him. Woods isn't exactly the same as that. But this is hard because, I mean, the Tigers, it's not that they've done that much for them. They did it, like I said, they did a bit for Tedesco through his injuries and stuck through him and stuff, which was good. But at the same time, I mean, you know, they signed them to win premierships. That's all they're there for. They're not doing it out of the goodness of their heart. So I'd say no. It's not, they don't have to sign with them. They can do whatever they want, really.
Yeah, I still think there's a place for loyalty in the NRL, but...
Yeah, but you have to ask where that loyalty is.
No, well,
why?
That's what I was going to say. I don't think that the current players in the NRL, aside from probably maybe Thurston and the Storm, believe in that kind of loyalty. And I definitely don't think the Tigers players feel that they owe anything to the Tigers, as you were saying. No, I don't think that Tedesco and Aaron Woods owe the Tigers anything.
Yeah, at the end of the day, the NRL is a business. I think if they weren't playing well, the club wouldn't re-sign them. So,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
They should go and chase that money whilst there. You know, these players have a career that spans the space of 10 years if they're lucky. So, you know, go chase the money, go chase the premierships, go chase the fame. It's a limited time, so... You know,
look, if they've been playing for them for 12, 14 years and the club has stuck by them through thick and thin, and they've only got a year or two left, and they decide to go and chase huge money overseas, there's a little bit, then you've got a question, you go like, come on, just stick with your team. Maybe the team's going through trouble or something like that, but this is a situation where maybe a clean cut between all of them is the best option.
Yeah. I feel like there's also a window for players that know they're going to have a career after football that they can choose to be loyal, like the Cooper Cronks and the Cameron Smiths and the Billy Slaters. Like Fox Sports is just going to eat those guys up as soon as they retire. So it doesn't really matter how much money they make playing football because they're going to have a career for the next 15 years anyway.
Yeah,
Yeah.
And most of them, Melbourne Storm have been paying them under the table for a fair few years of their career as well.
The third tree next to the road. Wait, dig deep down, you'll find just a chest full of gold. So really, I think that I understand the point that Tedesco has had injuries and the Tigers have been good to him. But yeah, chase the money, I think, or chase whatever he wants to do. And the from the Tigers' point of view as well, after Tedesco's comments that the Tigers can't win a premiership, which is essentially what he said, I wouldn't be too crash hot on re-signing him anyway.
Yeah, I do disagree in that way. Like I said earlier, that if that's his reason for leaving, that's a terrible reason. Mm. Because they're willing to throw ridiculous money at you, potentially money that you're not worth, and you're saying, no, I want to win a premiership. Well, buddy, you're getting paid 1.2 a season. You should be winning the premiership.
Exactly. All right, so the fans, they agreed with us. Oh, sorry, no, they did not agree with us. They said yes, 56%, and no, 44%.
Ungrateful.
So the fans don't believe in loyalty, unlike us who have no soul. So we'll move to the next segment, Initial Here, which is going to be run by JC. We played this one for the first time last week. We're going to have a bit of a competition this time.
And everyone on Twitter was going on about how much they loved it.
It's crazy. Yeah.
Well, my mum, and she isn't on Twitter, but she told me.
Your number one fan is saying how much they like it, then you've got to stick with it, right?
Exactly. Why else wouldn't you? So for those that didn't listen in last week, I'm going to pick two initials, two letters. Mac and Drew are going to take turns at trying to come up with as many player names as they can for those initials. And they've got 30 seconds to do so. They're going to get two turns each at the end. We're going to tally the aggregate scores and then we'll find a winner. So I'm going to go to Drew first because he didn't play last week. So 30 seconds. I'm going to get that up. The initials we're going to go for... TM.
Do I have to say them out loud?
Yes, you have to say them out loud. That's how a podcast works.
I thought you'd sort of be chasing the size. So my one is one. Tim Moulton, does he still play?
It doesn't have to be a current player.
Oh, okay, good. Good dear.
There is a big one you're missing.
Yeah, I can think of one.
You got 2 seconds.
Oh.
That's time. So you got two? Tim Manor.
Timmy Manor.
So you got two. That's an alright start though.
That sounded better than what I did last week, so well done.
It is indeed. So for Mac, I'm gonna go with the initials DS.
DS. See, I'm horrible at this game. I really am quite bad. DS. David Shillington.
Correct.
Oh. No, that's not...
One of the guests on the podcast last year. Our first ever guest on the podcast. He was fantastic. Indeed.
David... Someone? David... D day.
That is time. So that is 2-1.
I guess the first name, right?
I think that's the first game I've won on this.
No,
podcast.
You haven't won yet. Oh, you get two goes. Two rounds. Okay, Drew, second go is P M.
Oh god.
P M.
I can think of one at least.
Peter McIntyre, was he a player?
Yeah. He was a long time ago. I feel like that was just a random guess.
It sounded familiar.
A player.
It's a tough game.
It is a tough game.
Your brain just goes.
It's not meant to be easy.
Mush. Yellow what you think of him.
Paul McCartney played for the Brisbane Beatles, right?
And that is time. All right, so 3 in total.
Ugh.
So Mac now needs to get 2 to tie, 3 to win.
Right.
What initials are we going to go here with him? What I'm going to do, actually, I'm going to pick a player. I'm going to go with his initials. Normally, I've just been picking random initials. So I'm going to go with one to know that you can definitely get one. Yeah, you can. I'm not going to tell you the player. I'm going to pick a player.
Adam Reynolds.
All right. We're going to go. I was going to go with AR. No, okay. We're going to go with JR.
JR. Let's go with... I can't remember. What's Robson's first name? It's not James Robson.
Don't know who you're talking about.
Jeff Robson.
There's one.
Josh Reynolds.
Two. It's a draw.
Steve Perry.
One for the win. 2 seconds.
Riley Jacks, damn it.
That's time. That is time. All right, what I'm going to do for the tiebreaker.
Miss James Roberts.
I'm going to come up with two initials, as we always do. The first person to say a name of a correct player will win.
All
right. So let me just have a quick think.
You got any gaffer tape?
Now, I'm just going to give you a clue here. The player I'm thinking of, you don't have to get this player, but the player I'm thinking of for these initials doesn't play anymore. So that might help a little bit.
Okay.
There's no time limit to this one. So first person to say a name wins. SW.
Shannon Walker.
Yes, correct.
I was thinking of Shane Walker.
Yes, that would also would have been correct. I was thinking Shane Webke.
Oh, yeah.
SW's quite a good one to pick. Might do that one next week.
So,
winner
Shane Walker. He played like 2 games for the Titans. His career was for the Gold Coast. The Twinhead Seagulls.
Twinhead Seagulls.
I have a very particular history of rugby league that I remember.
Is he playing? He's playing rugby sevens now, isn't he?
Yeah, he was. I'm not sure if he still is. I remember he left rugby sevens to come play rugby league, but he didn't make it back in. So
get him on the podcast.
Alright, why not? So initial here is done. I thought that was quite successful. Bit of fun. Yeah. We're going to move on to the next segment. What's your beef? So Drew, what is your beef? And can you explain to people what this actually is?
What's your beef, although it may sound dirty, is just basically...
I didn't think that.
Just basically a gripe we have with the game at the moment, which...
We?
You know,
gripe you have with the game at the moment?
I'm sure it's hard to find issues in this game every week, but I'm going to try. So my beef this week is, I believe that the Sydney Roosters should change their name. I think the time has come for the Roosters to change their name back to either Sydney City or Eastern Suburbs. And the reason I believe this is because they don't represent Sydney. They get like 3 people to their game. 2 of those people are Wayne Pearce and Mitchell Pearce's mum and some other random person. And they don't represent Sydney. And as a Sydney resident, I've got to say, they certainly don't represent me, so I've got a real problem with them being called the Sydney Roosters.
So, wait, you live in the eastern suburbs, so if they changed their name to East Roosters, you'd...
That's true, and now everyone else knows where I live. Yeah. Thank you, Matt.
1-3-3
No, but, yeah, I have less of a problem with them being called the eastern suburbs Roosters because they're... literally the eastern suburbs Roosters. They're not the Sydney Roosters.
It doesn't mean just because he lives in the east, he doesn't have to go for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, yeah, my point is they don't represent Sydney.
I do agree with that. Yeah, I agree. I think they should change back. You'll get a nice little bit of heritage, a bit of vintage into the league as well, which everyone likes.
I'm just sick and tired of seeing Roosters fans call themselves East, so just change it so they are East, and that might be a problem.
They change it back, then in 10 years they'll call themselves Sydney fans.
Sydney City wasn't bad either, because, you know, more parks and they're like, 2 Ks away from the middle of the CBD.
Yeah, that's fine. But yeah, I agree. East is good. Go back to your heritage. I think it's a bit of a weird one how they changed in the first place. I agree.
Yeah.
I think you should put it forth to Todd Greenberg and Nick Politis and all those.
Todd Greenberg doesn't respond to my tweets.
That he might see them still. He just might not respond.
Doesn't respond to your tweets, your letters, your phone calls.
I tweeted at him about the Matt Lodge situation. He probably didn't appreciate it too much.
Good. Everyone needs to tweet to him about the Matt Lodge situation. That is one that I will definitely agree with.
All right, so that was Drew's beef for the week. We're going to move on now to the game that we brought out at the start of the season, jersey number. We have 2 again, so we're going to have a bit of competition between JC and Drew. All right, you guys ready?
Ready as I'll ever ready. Be.
All right. Warriors number 12.
Drew. Ryan Hoffman.
Yes, that's 1 for Drew. All right, let's go with Broncos number 9.
Drew.
Oh, I think that was Drew. No,
McCulloch.
What's his first name? We will put the timer on in a second. All right, 5, 4. 3, 2, 1.
Oh, a guest of the Golden Point last year, also came up in trivia a couple of weeks ago, which I nearly got 5 out of 5 for. Andrew McCulloch.
Correct.
Have an easier to remember name.
All right, Newcastle number 6.
JC, Brock Lamb.
Very good. 2 all. All right, let's stick with Newcastle number 13.
JC, oh no, I don't know that one actually. Jumped in. Jamie Bure?
No.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
Is it number? He's a bit of a new 13. Guy. No, I think I know, but
no.
That was Mitch Barnett.
And just by the way, it's 2-1 to JC, not 2-0.
Oh, very honest to you. You get a bonus point.
Thanks. 2-0.
Formal protest. All right, let's go. Manly number 3.
JC. Is it Dylan Walker?
Yes, it is. 3-1. All right.
What's it? Is it first to five?
First to five, yep. All right. Canberra number 2.
Drew.
Yep.
Dylan Kotrick? Is that his name?
That is wrong, unfortunately. JC,
it's I had it, then you said Dylan. Nick Kotrick.
Yes, it is. 4-1. Will there be a comeback today?
He should probably change his name to Dylan.
Does suit him better. Alright, let's go. West Tigers number 12.
Drew.
JC.
Oh, Drew got there
Chris
first.
Chris Lawrence?
Yes.
Very good. 200 game man.
Years old.
28 years old.
No, that's Jeff Robson. No.
Sydney Roosters, number 8.
Drew.
Mm.
Jared Waria Hargraves.
Yes, 4-3. All right. Cronulla, number 12.
JC.
Yep.
Wade Graham.
That is correct for the win.
Grade Wayham from Grade last year. For those long-time listeners.
All right. Congratulations. Very good win.
Good game.
Thank you. That was good. Bit of a comeback. Got a bit nervous. Palms are a little bit sweaty now. Feel them.
Oh, spaghetti.
All right, we're going to move on to free talk now. Just a quick one this week. Who wants to kick us off?
I'll have a go. All
right.
So there's so much talk about like how many teams there are in Sydney and whether there's too many teams. Don't you think if there was ever a situation in which a team should be moved out of Sydney, it should be right now, and that team should be the West Tigers?
It would make sense. Like the fact you have the West Tigers and you have Penrith and Parramatta and stuff like that, and they're sort of. They don't make a whole lot of sense. So, yeah, I'd like to see them moved.
I understand the concept that the West Tigers represent the Western suburbs. Like, that's fine, but their board is a shambles. Their club doesn't make any money. I think their club is... I heard today on Triple M that they're 5 Western suburbs, 2 Balmain and 2 Independence or something like that. So, like, it's not even an even thing anymore. Not that that really matters too much, but... I still think if any Sydney club was going to get moved out, it should be the Tigers.
No, I'd have to absolutely disagree. Where do you want to move them to?
I don't know. Wherever they're going to build a new team.
The heart and soul of West Tigers is their fan base, and they move that team out of the western suburbs of Sydney, either Leichhardt or Campbelltown, and they lose that fan base. Those fans, sure, some of them will stick with them, but they'll lose that passion that they have in the inner city. I think that would be an absolute mistake.
Well, if
I agree that they're in shambles and that something needs to happen, but moving them is not the answer.
If their board is, over 60% Western Suburbs, then maybe they should just be the Western Suburbs Magpies again.
Yeah, but I think their largest fan base is the Balmain fan base. I think they'd struggle there as well. You've got to realise that these people are the ones putting money into the club that they severely need. So you move them and they lose a large percentage of that money.
So
their memberships go down, their merchandise goes down. It'd be a huge, huge mistake.
So with that in mind, are you saying that there probably isn't now a Sydney team that is... should move?
It's hard. It's very hard. No, I don't think there is one that stands out that really should move. I think they're in a bit of a tricky situation. Ideally, there wouldn't be as many Sydney teams, but there is. And most of them do find success. Most of the Sydney teams have success and have had success over the last 10 years, so it's hard to say which one. I think St. George are one that are a little bit odd. They play at Cogra, they play down in Wollongong. Mm. Maybe they can just be based down in Wollongong. I mean, sure, Illawarra fans... would be happy about that. St. George ones won't be, and obviously they pay the bills in that club, so that's a hard one. You can't do that. Manly have their own thing up in the Northern Beaches. Penrith have their thing over in the West. You do have a bit of a cluster in the middle there with the West Tigers, Parramatta and the Dogs all sort of having a piece of the Western Suburbs, but the Western Suburbs is probably big enough that it's okay.
Yeah, I don't see the Sharks or the Dragons as any sort of problem. They're far enough away that they're not a problem. I see, as you just said...
Well, they're actually right next to each other.
They're far enough away from everyone else that they're not an issue. But I think the biggest issue is the Parramatta, West Tigers, Doggies, like you were saying, South Sydney Roosters. It's everyone's within 15 k's of each other.
But none of those teams are going to get moved.
But that's the issue. And maybe the NRL should do a better job of concentrating those... particular sets of fans on more rural suburban areas. And
What's your issue? Like, what brings this issue?
My issue is seeing half-empty stadiums.
But don't you think the issue maybe lies with other things, not with the team?
Well, that's what I'm saying. The NRL should maybe consider moving those teams away from those big stadiums and putting more advertising in the suburbs that the teams are instead of putting them on buses heading into the city.
Yeah, look, I've been saying this for the whole two seasons of the Golden Point, and I've been saying it for years before that as well. The team should not play at ANZ Stadium if it's not a big game. I know that they get tons of money from ANZ Stadium, and I don't know what the answer is. I don't have an answer, but some way they need to find an answer to make teams not play at ANZ Stadium, because it's the biggest blight on the game at the moment. You see games on a Friday night, you see them on a Sunday afternoon, and then quarter full, they're three quarters empty, and it's just a terrible look for the game. Fans like us don't want to go to games at ANZ Stadium because it's just not a fun experience. So that's the biggest problem for me. It's not moving one of those teams, it's just playing them at local grounds like you said and getting them away from ANZ Stadium.
On another note, we did have a conversation earlier today about expanding the competition, and there's been a bit of talk on Twitter the last couple of days and in the newspapers and stuff that the NRL probably won't get more money from the next TV deal, more money than they're currently getting. And I think it's probably a pretty fair point. I think the game is becoming a little bit stale in a way. And do you guys think that the time is right to move a team to, say, another team to Brisbane or potentially, you know, Western Australia?
I think Western Australia is something that needs to happen in the next 5 years or so. But in terms of achieving that, whether you look at doing an expansion team or relocating another team is a whole other story that needs to, depending on when they want to do it, it needs to look at how the NRL is doing at that stage.
Yeah, they do need to expand at some point. Obviously, we said today when we were talking about it that there isn't enough. One, there's not enough talent to go through all the NRL teams. You look at Newcastle, and they're probably playing with a 50% team that shouldn't be playing in the NRL, which, again, it's not any fault of Newcastle. It's just unfortunately where they've landed at the moment. And it's nothing to do with the players. It's no slight against them as well. They're all trying their heart out. But unfortunately, most of them shouldn't be playing in the NRL. They should still be playing in New South Wales Cup. So, one, there's probably not enough talent to actually be spread amongst 16 teams, let alone 17, 18 plus teams. So that's a big problem. But then, yes, you have the other problem that interest is down. Crowds are down. The AFL is definitely capitalising a lot better than the NRL of spreading the game across the country. I think you'd probably make the argument the AFL is much more of a nationwide sport now than the NRL is. NRL is very eastern coastline based, whereas the AFL spreads across to Perth, up to Brisbane. They play a lot of games up in the Northern Territory, and AFL is the biggest sport in the Northern Territory and upper Western Australia as well. So the NRL has a big issue there, but I don't know. What's the answer? What do you do? Do you move a team? If you move a team, who are you moving? What are you doing? Like, I don't know what the answer is.
It frustrates me with that problem being had, and everyone can sort of see it, that when you hear about relocation, people start talking about, a second Brisbane team, or a team in Ipswich, or a second team in New Zealand, and it's like, why are you just creating another Sydney? Like, what is the point of that?
Yeah.
I think the difference there is that there's so much interest in that Brisbane area that it makes sense to have a second team.
But
there.
Does it? Like, Brisbane are getting 30,000 average crowds. So let's bring in another team and they get, 15,000 crowds? Why? Let's leave it as it is. Have one team there. Great crowds, great support. We both lived in Brisbane for a few years, and you notice when you're there, everything Broncos. It's all Broncos, it's all Lions, it's all Reds. It's all they talk about. In Sydney, like you said, you go suburb to suburb and it changes teams on the radio.
Yeah, but you've got to understand that the NRL is only thinking in hypotheticals, and they are seeing that Brisbane team making lots of money, being one of the richest teams in the competition, and they think, okay, so Brisbane is a good market for rugby league. WA, we've tried it, didn't work, should we try it again? That's more of a devil you don't know kind of thing. And that's probably why people say maybe there should be another team in the Brisbane area.
I think that's a short-term vision, though, in terms of how to get profits, not a long-term idea. You know, I think that's the NRL needs to start thinking long-term about how it become an actual national competition and not the East Coast rugby league competition. You know, you bring in
another Brisbane team or even another South East Queensland team, and that team straight away starts taking profits away from Brisbane. And that's not what you want. You want Brisbane to be getting 100% of the profits they're getting now, and you want another team to be bringing in extra profit for the NRL and that team.
All right, so I'll move on to my point now. The rep weekend's coming up. and we're looking at the Australian Test match as well as the last City Country match. Any bolters that you guys can see making into that Australian side?
Well, to be honest with you, I can't really remember who was playing in the Australian side at the end of last season.
Yeah.
Bolters. Get back to me. What about you? Do you think there's any bolters?
With Mal Meninga being there as coach and stuff like that, I think they'll stay true to what they had, and you'll see like the Fergusons getting in there and things like that. In true NRL fashion, I'm sure there'll be talk about a Jack Bird or someone that's just the flavour of the week really getting his name thrown up there.
He played so bad today. He doesn't deserve to be anywhere near a national jumper. Blake Ferguson has also been really bad this season.
And he'll still get that jersey on the wing, you know, with Dugan at centre, assuming Dugan's healthy.
I think the Australian team is selected in two ways. It's selected on three ways. Who was in the team last season, who's in the boys club, and who's supposed to be the next superstar. Yeah. It's never, ever, ever selected on form. And it probably, and like you said, Mal Meninga is the coach, it probably won't be selected on form again.
There's probably a few other questions, like will Billy Slater be able to force his way back in? Jared Haynes obviously injured, so he won't. Inglis is out, so there's a centre spot open. Are they going to go with someone like Dugan, like they did last year? Dugan hasn't been in outstanding form.
Gagai, he looked phenomenal.
He was amazing. He was player of the week for me.
Absolute machine.
In a losing team as well, which says something.
Yeah. Now, there's definitely a few question marks there. I don't think it'll be... I usually don't get very excited about this match, but it's still just... It's interesting seeing the curtain raising to Origin happen.
Yeah, I would say if I had to pick a bolter, and I don't necessarily think one of these guys will get in, but if I had to say one was going to get in, I'd go either Jack DeBellin or Paul Vaughan from the Dragons. They're leading the comp at the moment. Those two have had an outstanding start to the year. So they're not far away from rep jerseys, those two.
I'd agree with that.
Yeah. I don't know how you feel about this, but I find it so funny that the New Zealand Kiwis are going to play against the Kangaroos, but there's the New Zealand Warriors. It really bugs me. I kind of just wish they'd go back to Auckland, because it makes so much more sense that way.
Yeah.
Like, I know they want to represent all of New Zealand, whatever, but it's just weird.
It is. It's odd, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, I get it from a marketing and branding standpoint, but yeah, it is a bit annoying. My only point, it's not really, you know, it's more of a hypothetical/opinion-based thing, a bit of a silly one. So, in the last few years, social media has obviously had a huge presence on sport, whether it's Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, even Snapchat with a lot of players on there now and teams on there now. My question is, do you think it's more enjoyable watching sport and being a participant in a sporting league being on social media or not being on social media? The reason I state this is, throughout the week, if you're a Twitter user or you follow a lot of rugby league groups on Facebook, you see a lot of breaking news, a lot of rumours, a lot of complaints, a lot of whinging about things that happened on the weekend, mostly whinging about the NRL. People hate the bunker, they hate the refs, they hate Todd Greenberg, they hate anything the NRL does, essentially. So, in a way, does that bring down the enjoyment of actually watching the sport itself? Do you think that you might enjoy it if you weren't on social media?
Yeah, I think I would and did enjoy it a lot more before the days of social media. And it's not just sport either. It's just life as a whole. I'm sick of the 24/7 news cycle, and especially sick of the rugby league 24/7 news cycle. Those journalists, they just always have a scoop. There's something always happening. Yeah. And it's just crap. Like, it's not real. Half the time they're just making stuff up, and you do sort of buy into it. And it's not because you're a stupid person or anything like that. It's just because it's in
some
your face.
Some of you are.
Oh, really stupid.
Not you guys, not the listeners,
the people you know. you buy into it because it's all you hear sometimes, and it's just in your face all the time, and it's hard not to. I know when that whole thing with Hasler and Ivan Cleary was happening, everyone was saying Hasler was going to get sacked and Cleary's going to come in. And because so many people were saying it, and I was on Twitter pretty much for that whole night, I legitimately thought it was going to happen. And it just turned out to be one of those rumours that someone started, and there was no...
Joel Kane.
Yeah, they were like Joel Kane. Why don't you stick to sports bet? But yeah, I'm pretty sick of the 24/7 news cycle.
Overall, just a quick touch on what you just said then. I think that the important thing is people buy into things. And I think that's why it can affect you. Back to the point I made of everyone likes to whinge about the NRL. It's like you go on to Zomato or TripAdvisor or whatever. You don't see that many positive reviews. You see negative. People like to speak in the negative. They don't necessarily like to speak in the positive. And it's so easy to get swept up on that and social media. I, for one, didn't hate the NRL before social media started. But now I find myself complaining so much about it and getting caught up in articles or tweets or Facebook posts saying what's gone wrong on the weekend, what the NRL's done wrong, how they're terrible for the game, how Greenberg needs to be sacked, how the CEO of your club needs to be sacked, how these players are ungrateful and blah, 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 blah. And it's just so easy to be swept up in it. So I think social media really just escalates that to a new level.
Yeah, the internet in general is just a melting pot of negativity, really. It's
not the greatest place, is it?
It's really going to be the downfall for humanity when you think about it.
It really is just the pits of humanity, yeah, isn't it? It's the internet. It's all the bad things.
Pretty much everyone that is a coward has a voice on there, and they can say whatever they want with no real repercussions.
And people like us are able to make podcasts.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, so we try and save humanity.
One step at a time, although we did have a segment about what's your beef and the negativity of the NRL tonight.
No, that wasn't about the NRL, that was just about the stupidity of a name. No, I agree with you, JC. What part of your speech did I agree with?
Just repeat all what you just said.
Just buying into it.
Yeah, what you were saying about not disliking the NRL before social media, and I was exactly the same, and I was the same with, I mean, I still sort of love cricket as much as I ever did, but with a lot of other things, I never remember being so negative about things.
You know, I never remember being so passionately against a player being in a team. You could be like, oh, I'm sick of them playing. But these days,
actually, I was pretty against fucking Nanai when he was a Bulldogs winger, and that was before social media.
Yeah, no, that's fair, but you probably weren't as much against Hacker Nanai as you would be against someone that's in the current Bulldogs team.
I think I didn't have the vocabulary that I now do, so I couldn't express it as well.
But you might not focus on it as much. I feel like it takes over your life in a way.
Yeah.
Like when you're, like, you know, I'm only talking about rugby league right now, but when you're such a passionate fan of that sport, you get so swept up in it, and it's a 24/7 thing. It's throughout the whole week. You know, games, they used to just be on Friday to Sunday. Rugby league now is Sunday to Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You know, it's every day, all day, every hour, and it gets a bit over the top sometimes.
I suppose that could be a good question for the fans' verdict this week. Does it bother you how much sport means to you?
Yeah, it's not bad.
That's fair. I had a friend of mine at the start of the season say that he wasn't going to care about rugby league so much anymore, just because he realised every Saturday night if his team had lost, he'd be annoyed and just angry for no reason at all.
Yeah,
and it's a good point. But at the same time, we're all diehard rugby league fans, and we're doing a podcast about this.
Because but then your team wins on a Friday night, and you have a great weekend. Yeah. I remember last 2 weekends, 2 weekends ago, whenever it was, sorry, last weekend, when the Bulldogs beat the Broncos. And it was a great game. Like, it wasn't a great game, but it was a great win. It was a great win by the Bulldogs. So we've been down and out. We've been going through all that Dez drama. We've been talking that Josh Reynolds was going to leave the club, blah, blah, blah. Frawley made his debut. Beat the Broncos in just a really sort of solid, tough game. And it was the most excited I've felt about a win in years. And in a weird way, it just lifts your spirits.
Similar situation. And I recall, like, a few weeks ago, in the cricket when India beat Australia in a really close
you
match.
You do know that this is
a rugby league. I do, but contest. I'm adding to your
That's
conversation.
That's two references to cricket.
and even when the Bulldogs lose, and my girlfriend says to me, what are you so upset about? And I say,
but you don't have a girlfriend.
I don't know.
We've never met your girlfriend.
Sorry, Mac's girlfriend said to me. But yeah, and people ask you, what are you so upset about? And you're like, well, they lost. It's like, sorry?
But I mean, isn't that sport? Yeah, just, the ups and downs, the drama.
There's nothing more annoying than a non-sports fan saying, oh, they'll win next week or something like that, and being like, why are you so upset? It's like, you don't understand. Leave me alone.
That's
like,
it, yeah.
You know, yeah. But,
I mean, Drew and I were talking about today, and he said, you know, it's just a sport. It's just rugby league. But it's like, everything is just something. It's true. You know, you get passionate about some things, you don't about others.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, you guys got any more points?
No, that's pretty much me,
I just hate the NRL.
All right. I hate rugby league, I hate the NRL, I hate everything.
Good summation. All right, so we'll move on to the final segment of the podcast. It's Who Am I? It's going to be run by JC. A bit of competition between Drew and I.
I can't remember what happened last week. Who played? Did you... You were guessing last week, weren't you?
Yeah,
I think you
got it.
I think you got it, yeah. I can't remember. I'm trying to recount what we've done this season.
I got it in one, and everyone cheered, and it was a fantastic day.
Yeah, okay.
If you beat me.
Maybe at home when you're playing with your dog.
No, she does hard ones.
Yeah. All right, so those that are playing at home and haven't played before... I've picked either a player or a coach. They must have played or coached within the last 10 years. And they must have played or coached over 100 first grade games. I've got 10 clues here. Drew and Mac are going to try and guess it in the shortest amount of clues they can. Whoever gets it first wins. If they have a guess and it's wrong, they're out.
Let's do it.
Clue one. I made my debut in 2008, winning the Dally M Rookie of the Year, as well as the 2008 Toyota Cup Halfback of the Year.
Wait, was this clue one?
This is clue one.
Wow, that's huge.
One clue.
Jeez.
I've played for two NRL clubs in around 150 NRL games. I was born in Queensland. However, I've only played for Sydney teams. Sydney NRL teams.
Mac. I think I know who it is. Is it Chris Sandow?
It is Chris Sandow.
Wow. There you go.
Drawn it up with the quickest of all time.
There you go. I know everything about Chris Sandow. So
that's a bit weird, to be honest with you. I'm going to go through the rest of the clues I had. I last played in the NRL in 2015. I currently play for the North Devils. I'm only 5'4". My career has been riddled with controversy, and many say I've never lived up to my potential. The two NRL clubs I've played for are South and the Eels. I represented the Indigenous All-Stars. And I was filmed fighting in the off-season.
You know what's incredible about Chris Sandow? I remember the controversy of his deal with Parramatta, where he was getting about $500,000 a year, and everyone was blowing up that was just so much money, he didn't deserve it.
You're going
it's like $500,000 seems like nothing.
Yeah, it does, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think Luke Brooks just signed with $550 for the year, so...
That's similar. True, yeah. To be fair, I'll take it if someone wants to offer it to me. I'm happy with $500,000. But
six. Let's go to six.
It's only like $250 with tax, so it's not really worth it.
I can't believe he's only 5'4". I knew he was short, but okay.
He's tiny.
I think he's about five foot.
I think he's about 5'4" wide as well, though.
Yeah, he's just a ball. He's a nugget, that's for sure.
He is a nugget.
He's cylindrical.
I've seen a few fans calling for him to come and replace Ben Hunt in the next 6 to 8 weeks.
Oh, no.
I'm not sure. He's not contracted by Broncos, but I think North Devils are one of their feeder clubs, I believe. So there possibly is a chance. I'm not sure.
He'll get suspended for a shoulder charge in the first week.
I'd love to see him back. Yeah. I mean, not for my team, but I'd love to see him back in the NRL. He's a bit of a character. He's a bit of a nut job.
Overrated player.
Well, yeah, but I agree that when people do say that he hasn't lived up to his potential, because on his day, he's actually an amazing footballer. I know he played a game when he was playing for Parramatta and he destroyed the Bulldogs. He played fullback for them and he absolutely destroyed it. So he's a very, very talented guy.
He also killed it over in England. Like, he was absolutely destroying everyone over there.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why
he's left.
To be fair, Rennie Chase is also a good player in England. So
I'd like to see Rennie Chase back.
Yeah, I would too.
His little trick plays he does on game day is always an interesting watch, and I always give him a like on Facebook because...
Settle down.
Good for you. I do use Facebook.
You're really, really hoping Rangy Chase listens to this podcast.
Like, I actually follow him on MySpace personally.
Yeah, there were actually. Well, there was an article on Fox Sports a couple of months ago, and it was all the players' old MySpace photos.
Oh wow!
Some classics in there. Cherry Evans comes.
I wonder
to
who Cherry Evans' top friends were.
Yeah. Kieran Foran.
You could set that.
Jeff Tuvey
was like 9.
Yeah, he just missed out on
that. Yo, why am I not in your top friend?
Do you reckon they should bring back a top 8? Do you reckon Facebook should have a top 8?
Well, the NRL's got a top 8.
The controversies that came with that were just insane.
Yeah, but that's the best thing about it.
Yeah, I guess.
Because as a person who particularly didn't care about who was in or out of the top 8, it was just funny to watch the drama unfold.
I don't know.
Do you think it would still have as much drama in adult life that it did in teenage life?
I'd like to think so.
Yeah. I don't know. Would you be upset if I left you out?
Yeah. Why'd you leave me out? Why are you even thinking about leaving me out? Who's the other seven? I mean, no, the other eight, because you left me out.
We do a weekly podcast together, and then that's it. Like, I pretty much, as soon as the mic goes off, I walk out and we're done.
I'd be more surprised you could make up eight, to be honest.
Well, you know, Chris Sandell, Rangy Chase. Tom.
Rangy Chase is obviously in there.
Tom. Tom, of course.
Tom is in there. Your mum.
Well, yeah.
So your mum would definitely get annoyed if she was in the top eight.
That is true.
Ours would as well, actually.
Yeah, everyone's would.
Yeah.
All right, that is episode 6 done for the week. We'll be back with more news about Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram and MySpace for next week, as well as tidbits about
Google
cricket.
Plus.
And, oh, of course, Google Plus, yeah, the circles.
It's still alive.
And we might also talk about a bit of rugby league. We'll see.
Ciao.
You've just listened to The Golden Point. Well done.